can be seated. Thank you. Delivering us from evil is a wonder sometimes if you could take that wrong, because you know Psalm 23 says he leads us into all paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So delivering us from evil is leading us into righteousness. Amen. Amen. You open up to Revelation 10. Thank you. We're going to do a good bit, probably, of reading tonight, because I want to do the cross references, the scriptures. So we'll be going to other books like Daniel and Ezekiel tonight, because it's amazing how the prophets, years and years ago, could speak forth a prophecy and be as accurate as this, and then in Revelations again, where Jesus Christ is telling John. That's the exact same thing that the prophets spoke. So we're going to start out in, I'm going to read Revelation chapter 10, and then we're going to go look at a couple books. And I took the advice of my peers, and I'm slowing down. The thing about Revelations, you feel that you have a lot of information and you want to impart it and share it. But like I was reminded, you can share too much too fast, and really, you haven't shared anything. So I shared with Teresa tonight, if there was a half an hour silence in heaven, I'm going to take at least 5 minutes up here. Sometimes. Amen. Revelation 10, King James. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book opened. He set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, and when a lion roareth, and when he crieth, he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, and he had declared to his servants, the prophets. I want to stop there at 6. I want to actually stop there. Let's go back for a second. I want to go back and just repeat something here. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as the pillars of fire. Who is that? That's Jesus. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 25. If you're there, say amen. Verse 25, and there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood and had let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was a likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it. Now this is Ezekiel talking. From the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, and it had the brightness round about it. Verse 28, as the appearance of the bow, this is the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. I'm just going to go chapter 2, just a couple more verses. And he said to me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. Church, if you pull anything out of that, you know that's Jesus. And you know that's the verse. In the verse, Revelation 10, that's who they're talking about. But you should see also the compassion. The compassion, him coming down to John. He's going to hand this book to John. This book's going to tell him what is yet to come. But it is the compassion of a father. He's yet looking to the Jewish people to save them, so they will come past their stiff-necked opinions and ideas and their sin and their adultery and idolatry. He's calling them to come back to repent. Still, he's giving them a chance. The verses, I wanted to go one more verse with one more chapter. Let's go to Daniel a minute. Daniel 12. Ezekiel seen that and spoke that. How accurate is that prophecy? Daniel 12, verse 7. Let's back up to 5. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two. The one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on the side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swore, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time and times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he says, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Particular reference is made to the mighty angel that came down from heaven with the little book open. He has taken it from the right hand of God in chapter 5 and has opened the seven seals in Revelation 6 through 8. It is now time to reveal its contents. And speaking to this angel, the word another is used apparently is not one of trumpet angels. It is stated in Revelation 11, 3 that the two witnesses are my two witnesses. This would not be written of a common angel. We also note the Bible that God is mentioned in conjunction with clouds. Interesting here, it says he's noted in the Bible 150 times as in the clouds. The rainbow is never used in the Bible apart from God. This angel must be the Son of God, for the word says that the rainbow is upon his head. Other details regarding this angel correspond with the vision of Christ in Revelations 1, 12 to 16. Descriptions of this kind are not given for regular angels. Christ is the only person with the self-same authority exhibited by this angel. The little book which he holds in his hand is the same book sealed with the seven seals in chapter 5. This book does not have to do with redemption or title deeds. Rather, this book is a book of judgment. Seems apparent from the fact that the language in Revelation 5 and 10 indicates no difference. The little book in chapter 10 will already be opened when the angel comes from heaven. So it is evident that the opening of this will have taken place before he comes to earth. He comes in triumph, and there will be no more delay. I looked up the little book, which is a scroll, and I was fascinated to find out that the book, the little book he's talking about, it had seven seals within the book. So when the book closed, there were seven seals. As he opened the book, he would break each seal. And in the king's time, the seal was sealed with the signet of a ring. I don't know what signet would be on here. You'd have to use your imagination. But there was a seal, and it was sealed. And only Christ could open that book. Only Christ could break that seal, as we read in chapter 5. So I thought that was fascinating that that book had seven seals in it. In most cases in the Old Testament, they talked about a scroll. The scroll also had seals in it, but most of the information given in the book back then, if it was stretched out, would have been 30 feet long. So I thought that was interesting, that much information. And Jesus Christ talking about a book he has with the seven seals in it, he's handing to John. The fact that numerous events are to follow make it clear that this is not the end of the chronological time, but rather the end of any further delay. Events of the Great Tribulation will now elapse quickly and move inevitably toward the return of Christ and the establishment of his kingdom. The mystery of what is to be will be revealed, and the events will proceed. No more stopping, no more delay. They're going to fall just like dominoes. In the seventh seal, you're going to move into the seven bowls. You're going to have the woman that's carried away in wings. You're going to have the child. You're going to have the Satan follow her, devour the child. So that's all in the seven seal. That's all going to be coming, because now he's getting ready to let the seven trumpets finish. He's going to set up his kingdom. But while he's doing all that, he's going to destroy the kingdoms of this world. Amen? We get to Revelation 10:7. Make sure I mention. Revelation 10:7. But in these days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mysteries of God shall be finished. And he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and says, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. As I took the little book out of the angel's hand, I ate it up. And it was in my mouth, sweet as honey. As soon as I have eaten it, my belly was bitter. He said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. God's scroll, that scroll, once he ate that, it was sweet because the truth is sweet. But it was bitter in his belly because judgment is bitter. So when he ate that scroll, that's why he felt it as honey. I want to mention, where did I want to go? I wanted to go to Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 8. I was going to have these read tonight, but I think we'll just skim over them real quick. They make reference to scrolls. It fascinated me, still again, that these prophets would say such things that were so accurate. Ezekiel 2:8, and we're going to look at 3:11. Everybody there? Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 8. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mournings and a woe. It's funny, we're at the last woe here. How close could you get? Speaking of prophecy. And I don't know that the years, I don't know what precedes these, but there was a lot of years before this was spoken. We're going to go to chapter 3 and verse 11. And go, get thee to them of captivity unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of great rushing, saying, blessed be the glory of the Lord God from his place. And I wanted to read 17. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speaking to warn the wicked from his wicked ways to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I require of thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. And God is an example of his word. This is what he come to John to go tell them and warn them. This is my judgment coming. Repent. And some did not. Mm-hmm. Truth is sweet. Judgment is bitter. When he told John he must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings, some people read this to mean that John will be one of their two witnesses. This teaching did not agree with that. And quite frankly, I don't either. There is no documentation where John had died. There's no documentation or even in the Bible that he was translated. So we don't know if John died or not. Jesus told John that there is a generation that will not die. I was going to go to those scriptures, but I'll just tell you that could it be that John didn't die? No one knows. But we know of two witnesses that did not die. And we'll talk about that later, okay? So when he told John, the Greek word here that was used here was translated before, that you're going to, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. They're saying the translation here is concerning them. So in the King James, it would almost make it sound like he's going to be before them years down the road talking to them, but in the Greek it says concerning them. So I wanted to just pull that out tonight. I wanted to read some Proverbs to you because I think the reason why we're going to read these Proverbs is because most of this, to me, all this revelation is the love of Jesus. That he is getting rid of sin, and he's redeeming his people. Even when in tribulation, he's redeeming his people. He's taking his people out. There's going to be tribulation saints that has repented. This, to me, was love that was just enormous, that he would still reach in the tribulation period and take his people back. And he's telling this government that's here that is crooked, lying, cheating, stealing, murderous, adulterous government, let my people go. He's saying, let them go. And even has 144,000 that's going to go and witness to the Jews during tribulation, the same time as the Antichrist is set up for the 3.5 years, those witnesses are going to go and win souls. How about that kind of love?
Yeah.
You will be raptured, you'll be out of here. But if for some reason you miss it, Christ is coming after you. He is not going to let you go. He loves you, man. You're his child. Can we miss it? Hey, we can. But I'll tell you this, we are in a church where it's taught. So if we miss it, it's because we desire to miss it. Because there's no way that you could be as blind as not to see God's love in Revelation. Listen to these proverbs. Proverbs 11:28 says, trust in your money and down you'll go. But the godly flourish like the leaves in spring. Proverbs 11:21 NLT says, evil people will surely be punished, but the children of God will go free. Proverbs 11:23, the godly can look forward to a reward, while the wicked can only expect judgment. So God is forever coming after us. He's forever wounding us. He's forever calling us. Judy and I watched a speaker on TV, your favorite preacher besides pastor. Pastor number one. This one was number two. And he had said, God's always talking. He's always talking. He's always calling. He's always wooing. He's always loving you. He's always has his hand extended to you to come. But are we listening? So I thought that was pretty important thing that kept going over in my spirit when I was reading Revelations. He's always calling. He's always calling. Man. Let's go to Revelation chapter 11, verse 1. I wanted to show you out of Revelation chapter 9. I had a picture of the scorpion I wanted to put up tonight. If you would, sir. Can you see that? You want us to kill the lights a little bit. I want you to see this because how could you not repent to see something as ugly as this coming after you? And yet they love their sin. This scorpion would not kill. They were to torment 5 months. The sting from back and the bite was just would be torture. But yet there was some that cursed God. After 5 months, there got to be such a stronghold, or it's like in Romans chapter 1. They talked about their conscience was seared. They had no conscience. So this, for something to torture you like that for 5 months, you would, why wouldn't you repent? And then the next picture we have was the horseman. This was the, we talked about, last time I was here, we talked about I believe the figure was 30 million, I believe. I'm sorry if I'm over-exaggerating that, but just for the sake of the point, you get the next picture. These horsemen come out of hell. This is the biggest army ever assembled by Satan himself. And they make war, it says, in the east. But look at that. Now these, they're going to kill one-third of men. Amen. I think I would straighten up my act in a hurry if those were coming after me. One more. This is appalling. This is a leader out of those those coming out of hell. Those pictures I showed you, so some people look at them and they scare the H-E-L-L out of them. Pretty persuasive. Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you, sir. Revelation chapter 11, we're going to talk about the temple. This is what you call a parenthetical. It's a break in what we're teaching here. And Revelation 11 was just inserted here. This is a measure of the temple. Let's read it. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. When it talks about a reed or a rod, the reed or rod was, I think in my, it said it's 12.5 inches long. So the reed and the rod. When the Bible talks about a reed or a rod, Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together lest they agree? God says in Amos 3:2, you only I have known. It says, therefore, I will punish. A father will punish his children, but he won't annihilate them. A rod, it's not an axe or a sword. It's for correction, not destruction. Rod denotes gentleness and affliction. Rod should equal peaceable fruit if you're a child of God. In this case, the rod or reed that he's using is definitely for destruction in the temple. The reed referred to here is also mentioned in Revelation 21. It's a rod or scepter. It's about 12 and one half feet long. The measuring done in this scene is not for building. It's for destruction. I wanted to read a couple psalms to you about a rod. Psalm 2:9 says, you shall break them with a rod of iron. Psalm 89, verse 32 says, then will I visit their transgression with a rod and their iniquity with stripes. Isaiah 11:46 says, with the rod of his mouth and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Does that sound familiar? Armageddon? Lamentations 2:8 says, the Lord has purposed to destroy the wall of the daughters of Zion. He has stretched out a line. This is, and it says, bring out the thought of a rod of chastisement. This temple, it says it's not Herod's temple. The temple was destroyed 25 years before John had the vision at the destruction of Jerusalem, 70 AD. This will not be the millennial temple, as described in Ezekiel 40:48, because it will not be built until Christ comes to earth. This particular temple is one that will be rebuilt by the Jews before the tribulation period. And you know, they said that's one of the signs. You'll see a temple being built. And also, when it's built by the Jews, it will be destroyed at that time, either by an earthquake under the seventh vow or by the armies of the Antichrist when they take over Jerusalem. It is clear from both testaments that sacrifices will be offered for at least 3.5 years in his temple, after which time it will be made desolate for 3.5 years. It will be polluted by the Antichrist and the Gentiles. Again, they're getting an idol worship, adultery, fornication. I think we'll bring out on the next page that actually this desecration, he equated it to Egypt and Sodom. You know what he did to Sodom. But still saved his people out of Sodom before he destroyed it. This is why there's no way this could include the church, because of his compassion and love for his children. There's no way you could come under that type of judgment unless your conscience was seared. I want to go to Zechariah 14, please. It says, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided into the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it to the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach to Aziel. Yeah, ye shall flee, like as ye fled before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, the king of Judah, and the Lord my God shall come, and all his saints with thee." Sounds like Matthew 24, does it not? Again, I cannot believe the accuracy that the prophets had prophesying that day. If I ever get another message together, it'll be that day. Because the Bible says, talks about that day a lot, especially in the Psalms and the Minor Prophets, that day. It should be noticed that everything pertaining to the Jewish part of the temple and worship, the Old Testament type of worship, will pass under the rod of judgment and desolation for the purpose of breaking the spirit of Israel. The court of the Gentiles was not measured to be trodden down of the Gentiles, for it was already in their possession. It was considered by the Jews to be polluted and fit only for the Gentiles. Jerusalem will be trodden down by the Gentiles for 42 months. The times of the Gentiles will not end until the return of Christ at the end of 42 months. The phrase is 42 months, 1,203 score days, at the time and times and half a time, all refer to the last 3.5 years of Daniel's 70th week, when the Antichrist will reign supreme. The Jews are important to God. He chose them in the beginning. The human race owes a tremendous debt of gratitude to the Jews, but they have not accepted Jesus Christ and will be coming under severe troubles during the Great Tribulation. We're going to move on to Revelation 11, 3. "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,203 score days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devour their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, and it rained not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over the waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues, as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast shall have ascended out of the bottomless pit, and shall make war against them." You've seen the leader of Pollen, what he would look like coming out of the pit. "And their dead bodies shall lie in the street for a great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and in Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3.5 days, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. In the same hour there was a great earthquake, and a tenth part of the city fell in the earthquake, were slain of men 7,000. And the remnants were frightened and gave glory to God in heaven. These witnesses, they had the ability, these two men, which a lot of scholars agree that they was Enoch and Elijah, because both did not die, but were taken up. And they were given power. They were given power to kill those that attempted to kill them with fire coming out of their mouth. They were going to prophesy. They were going to prophesy the whole time, the 3.5 years, as the Antichrist tried to take over. Well, of course, he got his hands full because he got revolt. There's people revolting against him and leaving and coming back. So he has his hands full. But while he's busy over there, you know, the two witnesses are going about witnessing for Christ. I want to say that when they were so glad when these two prophets were killed and laying in the streets, they had a party. And they were actually partying. So I imagine they were drinking and doing what they do. Sort of like a wake is going to happen. But it's not going to happen the way they think it's going to happen. So they are partying in the streets. Just like a Calvary, they celebrated there too. They did not. Until an earthquake came. After 3.5 days laying in the street, the life of God entered them. God has victory over death. We should never, ever forget that. If you fear death, you don't know your God. It said, come up hither. They ascended up into heaven in a cloud. And their enemies beheld them. At the same hour, there was a great earthquake. 1/10 of the city fell. There were 7,000 men that died. I guess their party didn't end like they thought it was going to. Mm-hmm. And the remnant. Come on. We're looking at compassion here. Listen, look what this is saying. And a remnant. God's still saving his people. And a remnant were frightened, and they gave glory to God in heaven. Remnant. Does God ever give up on?
No.
No, he never gives up on us. Not his loved ones. Amen. The two witnesses are mentioned in the middle of the week, or after the seals of the first six trumpets. It can also be noted that 1260 days or 42 months in Revelations 11:3 are the same as the 42 months in 11:2, and both periods are the same prophecy. The city is not trodden underfoot by Gentiles until the last half of the week, and the witness will prophesy during that time. The angel of Revelation 10 will come down from heaven during the middle of the week after the sixth trumpet, and just before the seventh, he declares that the power was given to the two witnesses. Is stated in verse 4, these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before God on the earth. Two persons are represented, verified in Zechariah 4:3, 11:14. They will be given power, authority, and the right to exercise as they choose. The witness can destroy their enemy, and they will cause the rain to stop during their ministries. And their command, water shall be turned to blood. They can smite the earth with plagues. God used the plagues many times in history because of sin and adultery, and they would be used again. We all know how he smited Egypt. He said, let my people go. It's the same thing here. He's telling them, you let my people go. Because they were intertwined. They had actually turned their heart toward the world and was getting their substance and trusted in money. And we just read in the Psalms, if you trust in money, you will go down. So we got to get that. He's getting their eyes back to him so they could save them. The beast will then ascend out of the abyss to make war on them and overcome them, and they will be killed, the two witnesses. This indicates that they are natural men who never died. They will now die at the hands of the beast. When they are slain by the beast, their corpse will lie in the streets of Jerusalem 3.5 days. There will be gloating and merriment because of their death. After 3.5 days, the Spirit of the life of God will enter into them, and they will stand upon their feet and ascend into heaven right before their faces. Now think about that. Put that on your 54-inch screen TV. To see them ascend. And that's exactly how the world's going to see that. And an earthquake will strike Jerusalem. That be on there too. You'll see devastation. Slaying 7,000 men and destroying 1/10 of the city. Those remaining will give glory to God. And then the big argument, the big question, the big debate is who the two witnesses. So Elijah would typify the translation of saints. And we have here that lost my place here. And Enoch was a prophet of judgment. So there you have translation, and you have judgment. And we're winding down here. Revelation 11:14. The second woe was passed, and behold, in Revelation 11:14, the third cometh quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and thy time and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and they shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear your name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them would destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there was lightnings, voices, and thunders, and earthquakes, and great hail. Here we have in this scene, this is going to be the casting out of Satan, because he's ready to come down and set up his government. Amen. And I said this last time, that we're going to be part of that, because if you're faithful and just over little things, he's going to make you ruler over big things, which means you're going to rule. You're going to rule as a government, governor, whatever position he gives us. We are going to rule over peoples. That's the authority you have in Christ. Winding down here, we also talked about the main event with the trumpet blast. Talked about that last time. So here's the seventh trumpet, and all these events are going to happen. We'll get in them more so even next time I teach. So the seventh trumpet's going to include a period involving the third woe, and also visions of the woman, the man-child, the dragon, the remnant, the war in heaven, the beast, and other events transpiring. And when we get through them events, and then New Jerusalem will come down, because he would have dealt with the governments here and put a stop to sin. Amen. Thank you for listening. It was a pleasure.